The glory of Yahweh, rather, is in the face of Yeshua. And so we see some interesting things in that 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. We'll come back to it later. But I'd like to look at a few things concerning this Torah portion that I want to just point out so we'll keep in mind the hand of God, or the providential hand of God, I'd rather say, in the lives of different individuals throughout history that brought about the security or the saving of the line of Mashiach. Because we have to have a Savior. We need a Messiah. So he knew from the very beginning, once the covenant was transgressed in with Adam, then there had to be something that would come into play. Now God foreknew and understood this. So what we see in the life of Jacob in his dream, first of all, his dream is the beginning of the portion that needs to be understood. And I'm very familiar with that portion of what took place with Jacob because of some of the things that the Lord used with that particular passage to bring revelation to me. So I can understand where we were going with this. Because you have to understand, you can't just be kind of reading along and all of a sudden think, well, this is a good idea. It's got to be more than that. It has to be encountered. It has to be something that happens. You encounter something. You encounter a revelation, something revealed. And then you have to, once you encounter that, you have to investigate that. You have to take some time and see how it fits Scripture. And once you do that, then you, what are you going to do? You're going to wrestle with it. Because you're saying, well, Lord, why didn't I see this before? Why didn't you reveal it before? And if that's a fact, why are you not revealing it to more people? And then so what do? You ask those questions and then you investigate that portion of it. And then you come to some conclusion. You got to come to a conclusion. You can't just disregard it. When the Lord shows you something in Scripture, you can't just disregard it. Now, some do that. But there's a consequence for disregarding God trying to get your attention. Then we see that in the Matthew account where the baptism happens. And immediately after the baptism, immediately after God saying, this is my beloved son. He didn't say anything other than that. He said, this is my son. This is the declaration of the Most High over Yeshua. And so we see all of those things unfold. And immediately after that, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted. Led in the wilderness to be tempted. Think about that. And so a lot of times we don't see that there's some things that we're trialed in or we're tempted in or facing in our life that we were led there. Well, that doesn't make sense. So what happens is you start questioning yourself. Well, maybe if I would have done this or done that, I wouldn't be going through this test or this trial. But there was a purpose behind all of that. What was the purpose that Yeshua was led? Because he then had to make proclamation. He had to stand on something. He couldn't say, well, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Well, it was said, and he had to make proclamation. What did he say? It is written. And so we go through those accounts, and we could cover some of that. But let's go back at the beginning portion, and I want to point out a couple things that's significant with what happened with the dream portion. We won't cover it. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But I want you to see that the hand of Yahweh is the thing guiding this to bring about his masterful plan to give us the salvation that we have. It's incredible. But let's look at it. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place, not just any place, a certain place, and stayed there that night. So he stayed there that night. Because the sun had set, and taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder. So I want you to picture this dream. He's laying there, and he has this dream. Now, Jacob's life was in turmoil up to this point. He's had a lot of uncertainties. His family is in disarray. Him and his brother, they're fighting. There's contention in the family. He's trying to find his way. The blessing's been put on him. And he's got all this stuff running through his mind. But he gets to a certain place. And sometimes in our walk with God, in order for us to really know what God is purposing for our future, we got to get to a certain place. That's why it didn't happen today. And it didn't happen yesterday. It might be a day or two in front of you, but when you get there, you're going to know it because you're going to be in a position where you can relax. You can sleep. And sometimes you got to get to that certain place. So he gets this pillow, he's sleeping, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. So I want you to think about this ladder. It's on the earth, and the top of it reaches the heavens. That's a pretty amazing ladder. I've never seen anything like that. Can you imagine that? Sort of like a portal. What someone would consider a portal. In some of these movies, they make all this stuff for movies. But think about this portal or this connection between earth, the place man dwells, and heaven, the place God dwells. I mean, you know, if you're going to get an answer, you got to have a connection. And the ladder represented that. How many of you ever been on the ground trying to get on the roof? You can walk around the house all day long saying, boy, I need to get on that roof. I need to be up there. How am I going to get up there? Well, you get the ladder out. But what does the ladder do? It connects you from where you are, where you're at. On the ground. You're on earth. And you got to get where? You got to get up there. You got to get on the top of the house. You need something that makes that connection. Well, that's what God is showing him. He said, I'm going to make this connection. There's several things that has to come into play. So he sets the ladder up and reaches the heaven. Behold, the angel of Yahweh, the angels of Yahweh were ascending and descending on it. On what? On the ladder. So picture that in your mind. We got this connection now. I picture this in my mind that this ladder is just bright. It's brilliant. And when the legs of the ladder hits the earth, it just does something. It's just that spot starts to light up. And then it's up in the heavens. And when you look up, the ladder kind of just disappears into the glory, into the glow. And then all of a sudden, going either side of that ladder, just the angels of the Lord, angels of Yahweh, just going back and forth. And I'm like, wow. And you're picturing that in your mind because you want to get into the... It's just telling us what happened. You want to get your mind and your imagination into the story. And that was my experience. You know, after Katrina hit, this was the first thing God showed me. The very first thing. And because he told me, he said, position's everything. You can't give up position for nothing and no reason. Now, what was Jacob looking for? His spot, his place. Then he came to a certain place, and he laid down for the sun had set. The day was over. How many of you know sometimes God will wait till the day's over before he moves on your behalf? We want him to move at the noon, but he ain't ready to move at noon. Because he moves at noon, we might not get the whole thing because we're too busy. We got too much daylight left. We got too much going on during the day. So what does he do? He waits until the sun set. And everything's calm. Now, how many of you have been working, and the sun sets, and you're on your way home, and now it's calm? You hardly, man, you got to sing to yourself to get home. Because you're winding down. Well, Jacob was wound up. And he started winding down, and all of a sudden, God says, "Let me. Now you're ready for me to show you something." So imagine that, angels ascending and descending on this amazing ladder, and behold, this is my favorite part, and behold, Yahweh stood above it. Now that'll light the top of the ladder up. Listen, that gets somebody attention, you know, gets your attention if you got God's angels ascending and descending, and then Yahweh himself standing above it. Something's about to happen. When you get that kind of picture, something is about to happen. So, and behold, Yahweh stood above it and said. Now, see what he said. This is Yahweh speaking. He said, I am Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, your father, and the Elohim of Isaac. Think about that. I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, your father, and of Elohim, and the Elohim of Isaac. Now, he just declared something that seems to be a little out of order. Who's Jacob's father? But he just said, I am Yahweh, the God or the Elohim of your father Abraham. Think about that. What was he letting him know? Everything I promised Abraham, all the way through to Isaac, God knows who Jacob's father is. It's Isaac. But he said, I'm going back. I don't care what I told Isaac. I'm about to give you what I told Abraham. How many of you know that what we count as loss, what we count as maybe it's too late, if you'll grab hold to how to relax in God, then the dream will come and he'll give you the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar tried to destroy. Some people hadn't even lived in the promises of God that he spoke in yesteryears. Because we're so caught up on what we lost today. Don't fret about what you lose today. We're talking about the God of your father Abraham declared something. That's powerful. That'll brighten up your gloomy day. But it took a little bit of time for him to get a hold to it. And I want you to see this. When I read this, in a time I've read this and mulled over this 100 times when the Lord first gave it to me. And I let it minister to me every, and I can't read it without God giving me more revelation. It's like I've read it yesterday, or the day before that. Because that's how clear it is when you see the wonderful elements of the scripture that come into play here. It's absolutely amazing. So hopefully you've seen that when you read it. He said, I'm Yahweh, the Elohim of your father, Abraham, your father. Think about that. I'm bringing you back some. I know your daddy promised you something. But I'm going to take you back to Abraham because what I told Abraham super exceeds overly abundantly more than what I told Isaac. You won't let that go. We still got to bring that into fulfillment. Now, you don't have to understand this. What does that mean? What that means is what I told your father Abraham, I want you to know you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to be upset. But what God was talking about there was Leah. Not Rachel. You see? Because what he promised in Leah, which he already foreknew, but Jacob had no idea, God was going to bring in that line. You remember those sons? He was going to bring them in. There was reasons behind it all. And we have Laban. He thinks, I'm getting it over on him. You're not getting it over on nobody. He's moving you on the board, son. He moved you right there. You thought you was getting it over on him. I'm moving. That's why he said, look, you might pursue him. You better not do him anything. See, God's all over this picture. How many want God all over the picture of your life? I want God all over everything that's happening in my life. And he wants to be. But, you know, God will sit back if we push him back. I don't want to push him back. God, I want the encounters you want me to have. I want to know the people you want me to have. You know how many people are selective? They're selective in who they want to do, go this way, go that place, who they want to hang out with. What about if we just say, God, I want to do what you want. Whatever you want. I don't know. How many remember the times that you did it all? You made the decisions, you did all the decision making, and you wound up where you wound up. We all were stuck in the miry clay. Didn't know how to get ourselves out. But now we're servants of the Most High. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm a slave to God. I love it. I used to be a slave to my own ideas and my own sin and iniquity. I love being a slave to God. But here's the thing about God being he doesn't make you do anything for nothing. See, they got those who drive you and you do things for nothing. What does that mean? You can get yourself so busy in the benefit of being so busy, you got nothing that pays for it at the end. And I can remember a time in my life, that's how it was. I worked as hard as I could work, and at the end of the year, I didn't come ahead at all. Like, what is this? Because God, I was opposing or going in opposition to the plan of God. I wouldn't settle down. When you settle down, let me tell you, there's been many times I had a ladder in my life. One of them was in a cold evening January, when the Lord first called me, when I knew without a doubt I was going into ministry. That was a ladder moment. I knew it. Nobody called me up and said, the Lord, thus says the Lord. Nobody ever did that to me. It was a God moment where I settled down, and you gotta understand, you gotta quit wrestling with the fact that you gotta figure it all out. You don't have to figure it all out. Sometimes you just gotta see the dream. You gotta just see the dream, see the picture, let it unfold. And so I imagine in this dream, in this conversation, it's blowing his mind. I'm Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, your father, and of Elohim of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and to your offspring. Now he's giving him land. Land's getting handed out. How many of you know that Jacob was already a man with many possessions? Already. As a matter of fact, he had enough possessions and enough children. He could have just went on and been his own man. But he wasn't settled. He wasn't settled. See, you can very much do that. There's a lot of people who can go out and make it. You don't have to be serving God to be successful. There's a lot of people that's successful and they're not serving God. But how many know when you start getting land, that land is not something that we understand unless we're kingdom-minded. What land? We're talking about, this is disconnect. When he says, the land I'm giving you, this is not talking about just land you have so you become richer. This is talking about land where eventually the throne of David will be set, where the Mashiach's going to walk through the eastern gate and sit on that throne. We're talking about millennial land. This promise is way bigger than when you just read land. When I read land here, I pause, put it in park. I got a camp right there because this is bigger than just a little bitty word named land. But only kingdom-minded people see that. And I pray that you grab hold to that. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you a spot. It's going to be a great spot. You're going to have some fruit trees, a little brook running through it. Man, it's going to be great. No, that's not what he's talking about. First of all, he gave him the promise of Abraham, which meant, he says, if you look at the stars or the sands of the sea, so shall your seed be. What is he counting on there? He says, we don't know it now. He don't know it now. But out of you is going to come 12 tribes. They will split. Leah's tribe, they're going to be protected, but they're also going to have division there. We got problems with Reuben and Simeon right off the bat. When you study each one of those lines, you'll find out how powerful these statements are. You can't read it the same. Because every time you read a little thing, it just stops you and it jumps off the page because you know what he's referring to. They'll split. 10 tribes is going to go one way, and there'll be a southern and northern kingdom. They'll be dispersed among the Gentiles. But what I'm telling you, and that's why the Ephraim reading is in Hosea. There's a reason for this Torah portion. There's a reason they match up these scriptures. Without them, we're going to be in trouble. You say, well, how does that affect me? Because after the baptism, what does the baptism mean? It means that you made a dedication or a proclamation to the world. Baptisms are done, typically then they're done outside. People see that you're associated now with a certain sect. So John's baptizing Jesus. He's baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord descends like a dove, and a voice says, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. But immediately, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted. How many know that Jacob's on his way? He's got to settle down. Jesus settled in, quoted scripture. He understood it. He was an overcomer. Same thing we have to do. You know why most people never play out their destiny in life? You can go to church all your life. You can participate in church. You can do all sorts of mission trips, but you never reach your destiny. We don't want to do that. I want to reach my... I want to do what God says I'm going to do. His plan for me. Well, you do that because you can relax and understand and see the dream. You got to get the vision. If you don't get the vision, I can tell you the vision. I can share the vision. But if you can't read it for yourself, so you can run with the vision. You know when a person's got the vision? It don't matter who quits. It don't matter who gives up. You understand? It's like running a relay. The first guy in the relay, I remember I ran track in school. I was first leg, so I took off. You know, and hey, I'm running all I got. I hand it off. When I hand it off, my race is over. Now I'm still a part of that team. It's four of us. And I want to win. But I can't run no more. I can't. I've done handed it off. And that's what we have to understand. In life, everybody's got a spot that they're going to run their leg. And you got to run it with everything's in you. Because guess what? You're cheering on the second guy. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And the third, you're cheering him on. The fourth guy that comes in, he's the last leg. We cheered him on because if he crossed the line, we all win. All of us win. We all get a trophy. We all get a medal. And that's how the body of Christ should function. But we're so busy running our leg. We're so busy doing what we want to do, we can't see that there's something else involved. That's what Jacob's problem was. He said, man, you got to settle down. You got to settle down. You got to relax. Sun sets. Relax. And when he did, he caught the vision. He saw the dream. He got a hold to him. He understood some principles. That's what has to happen in our life. So, he said, the land on which you lie, I will give to you, now watch this, and to your offspring. For your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a powerful statement. Hallelujah. Me? You mean me? I'm a cheat. I'm a liar. I took what wasn't mine. You talking about me, God? Yeah, you get your heart right. Settle down in me. I can take a cheat, a swindler, a liar. I change your life forever. I got something that can cover that. What was God talking about? What he's leading to is a Mashiach in the wings. We got a Savior, a rescuer. The God who can come and bail us out of our iniquity and our transgression. This stuff gets deep inside of you. You eat it, you sleep it, you breathe it. There's not a moment that goes by that you're not saying, Father, you're so incredible. I tell him all the time, you're amazing. Because he's always with you. It's always, I don't care where you are, if you're looking for it, you're going to find it. If you seek for it, you'll find it. If you call upon him while he's near, he'll answer you. We can't miss opportunities. You can be busy. Listen, I'm busy. But there's moments, there's a drive. It takes 5 minutes and you can have that encounter with God. It takes 1 minute, 60 seconds on side your bed. God, I thank you. So amazing. You're right there with me. I thank you for it. When you suck that air off that Mississippi, you got to realize I got to give God some glory here because my lungs wouldn't work without his hand on me. I would take it in, wouldn't know how to blow it out if it wouldn't be for the handy, amazing hand of God on my life. Those are the things you gotta embrace those moments because they're so important. And this is what's happening to Jacob. So this tool portion alone, you can teach on it for days because there's so much stuff in it. And I wanted to get further down, but I'm going to cover this and we're going to go. The land which you lie, your offspring, all of this he's telling him, it's yours. Now watch this. Behold, says that again. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. Now, I'm sure right by now he's confused. Where I'm going? I just got here, God. I just got here. What do you mean where I'm going? I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. Think about that. I'll be with you. It's going to be all right. Little did he know. Little did he know that he was going to have a boy one day named Joseph. He didn't know it then, but he said, you're going to wind up in Egypt, but I'll be with you there. He don't know that, but the Most High knows everything. I got to read that again because let me tell you, when you read that and you know the story, you can't help it but go, wow. You think God quit doing this kind of stuff? He ain't quit. He wants to be involved in everything we want him involved in. He wants to be a part of every part of our life. You never would have dreamed. Here we are. We get up every day and we go do whatever we do. Can you imagine? Do you know what you need to do? Sometime hit stop and think 10 years back. You didn't even dream about this day. But the handiwork of God, the amazing, powerful handiwork of God. So if he can do that, then what else is he planning on doing? It's going to be incredible. And folks want to know, well, what keeps you going? Are you serious? What keeps me going? It's not what God's done for me. Not just that. It's the fact that I know him today. And the fact that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And he said he'd be with me to the end. Think about all of that. It's amazing. So watch this. We're going to find us a spot here. I just wanted to do this dream real quick. But there ain't no real quick, I guess. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Isn't that amazing? I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it. I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim. And this is the gate of heaven. This was an encounter. Imagine like this portal. Like he walked in this place and all of a sudden in this sleep, he dreams this dream and he's encountering where there's nothing that's separating the place where God lives and the place where man lives. How many of you know he's getting a picture of the millennial reign? Nothing's going to separate. There's going to be a time where you and I are going to experience this very thing. Now, we have it in moments. That you can be driving and a song comes on and you're just listening and you're humming along. And all of a sudden, there's that certain part of that song that you get that you get a little bitty, you get to peek in. And there's nothing. At that moment, it's like all the stuff goes away. And it's just you and him. How many like the you and him moments? And they don't last long. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're very short. They're brief moments. But I want to tell you, what he's talking about here, he said there's going to be a time that you're going to hit that spot. And it's going to be heaven connected to the place man dwells, and there'll be nothing to hinder it. Angels ascending and descending. And it's a powerful thing. I want you to start thinking about that. Listen, if you're up against it, people get up against it. There's people up against things. And you know what? You can handle it conventionally. You can do whatever you want, really. Everybody in here. Everybody with a brain can do whatever they want. You can handle it however you want. Or you can go to God. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. But you're going to do it one way. You're not going to do it both ways. You're going to do it one way. God's way or some conventional way, some system. According to Scripture, there's two systems. There's God's way and there's man's way. Man's way is dictated by Satan. Because he's the god of this world. It's dictated by Satan. So I'm not into the Satan stuff, but I'm not into the God stuff. What are you into? Well, it's just me. It ain't just you. Talking in confusion. That's a clear indication you've already been deceived. Because we won't submit to the Most High. And so you could do it either way you want. God's telling Jacob, why don't you do what I'm telling you? So what's about to happen? So quickly, stop right there. He finds his way, gets to the well, and then God starts doing everything he said he would do. He meets Rachel, Laban, tricks him, puts in Leah. Everybody says, wow, that's horrible. Not to God. That's terrible. Not to God. Well, he had it coming. That wasn't the reason behind it. God wasn't getting back at Jacob for what he did. Now, there's messages out there. They're missing the whole point. You know what gets me? Is when Leah has, she has Reuben and Simeon and Judah. That Judah one, that'll get you right there. And Levi. Those two right there just kind of pull me right in. What you doing, God? The story would have made more sense if Rachel would have had those boys. Right? But Leah had them. So we don't give Leah a lot of credit here, but God does. So you, that's some stuff to think about. You start reading that stuff, you go, well, that, you know. Time you're drawing this out, you go, God, this is absolutely amazing. So there have been times in my life when I wanted my Rachel and God gave me the Leah. Because you want what you want, but you don't know that what you want is not what God's purpose and plan is for your life. It's just not. And if he tried to explain it to you, you wouldn't understand it. So he just lets things happen, and you always say, why has it never worked for me? I could be a millionaire by this time. Yeah, and lost. And God's trying to save you. He's trying to save you when you're not trying to save yourself. So hopefully you'll see this. And y'all by now know, I can go on about 4 more hours and never get tired. I'm telling y'all, we just go into the morning. When everybody gets here in the morning, we'll still be here talking about this. Because that's how incredible it is. And so Satan tried to change it when he come to Yeshua. He said, you know what? It's a great deal. He brought him to the holy city, into the top pinnacle. He said, listen, you just got to worship me. Serious? What do you mean worship you? That's not what the scripture says. And so you have to understand that that's what we have now. That's our ladder. That is our dream. We got to do what scripture says. So people don't understand it. They say, well, I don't know why they're doing that. We're not doing it to try to be odd. What we're doing is what the scripture says. And it doesn't make sense, but that's okay. And so ain't nobody questioning themselves more than I have. Through all this process, there ain't nobody in here is questioning yourself more than I have. I question myself over and over and over and over and over again. Because what you want is results. That's what you want. You're looking for results. And you ask this question, what if it's right, then why is this happening? Why aren't the churches packed out? Because if we're doing what's right, they ought to be being set free all over. So are we going to trust God that he's going to do what he said? Just because you got your Leah now don't mean the Rachel won't come. They all have their purpose. But you can't put one in front of the other as much as we want it. Now, who Jacob wanted more than anybody? He wanted Rachel. But without Leah, the whole gang would have been lost. Because we need Judah or we in trouble. And without Levi, nobody can bear the presence of God to get us to where we are today. Now, there's a mess with Reuben and Simon and Dan. And matter of fact, he's left out at the end. But that's their own doing. I can go into all the details. You read through it, you go, well, I see why that's happened. But when the hand of God's in it, it may not make sense to you, but you got to go with God if you know that you're just going to do what God said. And so I hope this has helped you a little bit. We went over it. This tour portion, I'm telling you, it makes me almost want to just say, okay, we're taking a pause Sunday, I'm going on this. Because that's how much good information is in it. But everything has its reason and its time. And I thank God that you were here tonight to grab hold to this and see it. And hopefully everybody will get it and just look at this. This is important. This is almost like it'll be all right, even though we're finishing this tour, this portion. I almost want to do it. Read it again Sunday and Monday before you jump on the other one, because it deserves another look through. That's how incredible it is. And so, and not to mention the glory of Yahweh, Corinthians reading, in the face of Yeshua. How clear is that? So, I appreciate all of you for being here for the portion. I didn't even know I was going to get this. I'm so pumped up I got a chance to do it. I don't know. I'm thankful. So, thank you, Lord. I appreciate all of you. Let's not forget morning service. And this week coming, our regular schedule happens. We're going to be doing our Bible studies at the scheduled places. They'll be announced again tomorrow. All right? Well, God bless you. I love you. Thank God for all of you. I appreciate you. We'll see you in the morning. Be blessed.